Chapter 3, Quay. Quay had received a message from his old friend Cujo, but he did not know how he would answer. He was in his mother Athea's old village, trying his best to sleep. Quay did not like staying in the village. He preferred his life in England, or even in Cape Coast Castle. The village was hot and full of biting insects. Quay had not worked in the village for long. Before his father, James Collins, died, Quay worked in an office in the castle. But after James's death, the new governor of Cape Coast Castle made some changes. "We need to improve our relationship with Abaeku Badu's village," he said. "We've heard that they're working with new, independent companies, and we don't want that. Because of your parents' history and your uncle Fifi, I think you would be very helpful in the village. We want you to go and make them sign our trade agreement." Quay had nodded and accepted his new job, but he was not happy about it. For some reason, Quay felt like he was being punished for something. At sunrise, Quay went to visit his uncle Fifi. It was difficult to believe that Fifi was really his uncle. Fifi was a big man with strong muscles, while Quay was the exact opposite. Quay did not think they looked like family at all. "Good morning, my son," said Fifi when he saw Quay approaching. "Sit and eat with me." Quay sat down as Fifi's servant girl brought out bowls of breakfast for them. "Uncle, I've been here for a month," said Quay, "but we still haven't spoken about our trade agreements. We can give you more money, but you have to promise to stop working with other companies." Fifi did not listen. He never did. Quay had given the same speech many times before, but Fifi always ignored him. "Uncle, I don't want to speak about business anymore," said Fifi. "Let me enjoy my breakfast." Quay shook his head. If this continued, he would never be able to leave the village. Quay had been a lonely child. He grew up in the castle and spent most of his time with his mother, Athea. He heard his parents talking about him one day. "I'm worried because he has no friends," Athea said to James. "I want him to play with other Fanti children, other village children. Don't you know anyone?" James did not answer. But soon after that, Cujo Saki came with his father to visit the castle. Cujo's father was Abaeku Badu's biggest competitor, and James wanted to meet with him. While the two men spoke about trade, Quay and Cujo were sent to play. Once they had left their fathers, Cujo turned to stare curiously at Quay. "Are you white?" "I'm not white," said Quay. "Oh," Cujo continued to stare. "What are you then?" "I'm like you," said Quay. Cujo held his hand out in front of Quay's to show him his darker skin. "You're not like me." Quay had wanted to cry. He knew he was neither black or white, neither English or African. But Cujo saw the tears coming and suddenly grabbed Quay's hand and began to drag him across the room. "Come on. My father told me they keep big guns in this castle. Show me them." And that is how Quay and Cujo became friends. 2 weeks after their first meeting, Cujo sent Quay an invitation to come and visit his village. Over the years, Quay would spend a lot of time in Cujo's village. On his first visit, Quay was amazed how different it was to his life in the castle. The people in Cujo's village seemed happy and free. "Hey, Quay, look what I found," said Cujo one day. Quay looked and saw two snails in Cujo's hands. "Let's race them. This one is yours and this is mine," said Cujo, and put the snails on the ground. "Why aren't they moving?" You're free, stupid snails. Go! Quay Snail started to move forward, slowly followed by Cujo Snail. The boys watched as Quay Snail pulled ahead and reached the finish line. Quay was nervous. Would Cujo be angry with him? He could think of only one thing to do. He put out his hand. Cujo took it, and they shook. My snail was stupid, but yours did well, said Cujo. Let's name them. We'll call mine Richard, because it's a British name, and he was bad, like the British are bad. Yours can be named Kwame. Quay laughed. His father was British, so he knew he should have felt guilty for laughing with Cujo, but he did not care. For the first time, Quay felt like he belonged. The boys grew older together. Quay got taller, and Cujo grew muscle. Cujo became strong and started getting good at wrestling. Older boys would come to Cujo's village to challenge him, but Cujo won every time. When will you wrestle me? Cujo asked Quay one day. I don't want to, said Quay. Why? Are you scared you'll lose? Asked Cujo. Quay was not scared of losing to Cujo. He knew he would lose, because Cujo was bigger and stronger than him. Quay did not want to wrestle Cujo, because he was afraid that he would like how it felt when Cujo pushed him to the ground and held him down. How could I be scared of losing against someone with such small arms? Quay said with a laugh. My arms aren't small, shouted Cujo. He reached over and pressed Quay's head under one of his arms. Does this feel small to you? Quay could feel Cujo's body pressed close to him. He did not say anything. Finally, Cujo let him go. Were you scared, Quay? Asked Cujo. No, said Quay. I know you wouldn't hurt me. Are you sure? Quay looked straight into Cujo's eyes. Yes. Cujo stared at Quay for a moment and then walked to stand in front of him. Wrestle me, said Cujo. They were standing so close, Quay could feel Cujo's breath on his face. The next week, Cujo came to the castle for a wrestling match with one of the soldiers. The soldier was strong, but Cujo was stronger, and he easily beat him. Several other soldiers wrestled with Cujo as well, and he won all the matches. As a prize for winning, Cujo was allowed to spend the night in the castle. After everyone had left, Quay and Cujo were alone. I'll wrestle you now, said Quay. Cujo laughed. You only want to wrestle now because you know I'm too tired to win. You've never been too tired to win. Okay, said Cujo. We can wrestle if you catch me first. Cujo started running, but Quay was faster. He easily caught Cujo and pushed him to the ground. For a moment, Quay thought that he might win, but then Cujo rolled over and sat on top of Quay. Cujo was too strong for him, and Quay knew that he had lost the fight. At the end of wrestling matches, the loser was supposed to hit the ground 3 times, but Quay did not want to. He liked how it felt with Cujo sitting on top of him. Slowly, Quay relaxed his body, and he felt Cujo do the same. They stared into each other's eyes. Get up right now, said James. Quay did not know that his father had been watching them. Go home, Cujo, said James. His father was using the voice he used when he spoke to the slaves. Quay knew he was not happy. Cujo stood up and quickly left without saying goodbye. The next month, before Quay's 14th birthday, James sent him away to live in England. I heard you're back from London. Can I see you, old friend? That was the message Quay had received from Cujo. It had been 6 years since they had last seen each other, and Quay was afraid to reply. Instead, Quay tried to encourage Uncle Fifi to accept the trade agreement so he would be able to finally leave the village. Fifi was a difficult man, and he did not want to listen to Quay. One night, Fifi announced that he was going to travel up north to capture some more slaves to sell. Fifi knew that it was going to be a difficult journey, so he asked men from another village for their help. "If you help us, you can keep some slaves for yourselves," Fifi told the men. "That's fair," said a man. Quay was standing near his uncle's hut, and he recognized the voice. It was deeper than he remembered, but he knew it immediately. Quay quickly walked into the hut and saw Cujo standing there. "Quay," said Cujo, "you've finally come to greet me." "What are you doing here?" asked Quay. "Your uncle has promised us slaves if we help him. How could I say no?" When Fifi turned away, Cujo whispered to Quay, "Why didn't you reply to my message?" "I was busy," said Quay. "I see," said Cujo. Quay did not know if Cujo believed him. "Did you know I got married last year?" "Oh," said Quay. "Congratulations." Cujo laughed. "You're just like a British man now, Quay. Just like Richard the Snail." Fifi suddenly called for the men to follow him. "Please come and visit my village one day," said Cujo, before he ran to follow Fifi. Fifi did not return for 4 weeks. When he came back to the village, he was badly injured and was bleeding a lot from a wound on his stomach. A doctor tried to close the wound, but Fifi was still in pain. "What happened?" asked Quay when he entered Fifi's hut. He had never seen his uncle in so much pain before. It was frightening. Quay wondered if Cujo had survived, but he did not ask. "Don't worry about me," said Fifi. He pointed to a dark corner of the room. "Look what we brought with us." Quay looked and was shocked when he saw the slaves Fifi had captured. There were 2 men and 1 young girl. There was a very special scar on the girl's face. "Uncle," cried Quay, "what have you done? This is the daughter of the Ashanti king." Quay felt sick. He knew that capturing the Ashanti princess would start a war between the Fanti and Ashanti people. The girl's name was Nana Ya, and she was the eldest daughter of the Ashanti king. "The Ashanti people won't forgive us for this," said Quay. "The Ashanti have been angry with us for years," said Fifi. "But they'll forgive us now." "How? You've stolen the Ashanti princess. They'll never forgive us." Fifi smiled. "That's why you must marry her. If you marry Nana Ya, her father cannot attack our village. Quay, you're my sister's only son. When I die, I'll make you a powerful man." Quay did not want to become a powerful man. He wanted to visit Cujo's village and live there in peace. But he knew he could not. He had a job to do, and he knew that this was the only way to succeed. "Okay, uncle," said Quay sadly. "I'll do it. I'll marry her."